Have you enjoyed being in the Lord's presence so far this morning? Amen. His presence is awesome. I really do believe that part of what we experience today is linked to the study that we're doing. Who's doing the study? Can I see? Don't be ashamed if you're not doing. But if you're doing this, has it been a blessing? Has it been encouraging you? Have you ever thought about speaking to the Lord as, I know we don't like to la-di-da things, but have you ever woken up in the morning and said, "Good morning, my beloved"? Isn't it awesome that we can think of Jesus, our King, as our beloved? Sometimes we battle with that thing, hey? But God is our beloved. He loves us so much. He loves us more than what we can even dream or imagine or think. Just before we go any further, I want to remind you that we are having the tea and snacks after the service for Trevor and Annette to celebrate his retirement. But Trevor's not really retiring because he's going to carry on working a day a week for us. He's going to carry on doing our books for us. Thank you, Trevor. Appreciate that. It took a massive load off my shoulders. I believe that. And he said, "I want to carry on working. What am I going to do? Am I going to go and sit at home? What am I going to do?" And what a great attitude, because God says, "I'm not done with you yet." So we're going to share that, and then there shouldn't be confusion in the church, but there was a bit of confusion this morning because I changed the way we did things. We took an offering. So some of you might have thought, "Well, why was there a second offering?" I trust that most of you understood what it was about. It was, we decided we would take a second offering so we could bless Trevor and Annette with a gift, just a financial gift from us. Will it ever pay for the years of service? Of course not. But it is a sign of appreciation. And jammer dat jy dit moes sien, Annette. But that's the only way to do it. Amen. So, if there was some confusion here, and I think there may have been some slight confusion where somebody might have, I saw possibly a tithe envelope going to one of those containers. We'll sort that out. Okay, we'll understand what it is. And then if you have still got, has anybody kept thinking that it would be done later? If there's anybody like that, just show me your hand so that I can see if we need to put out an offering plate somewhere. So everybody knew what we were doing. Okay, so there's no further confusion. Thank you for all of those that prayed for me last week. I wasn't feeling very well, but I feel much better. And know that we're praying for you. If you don't get well, please let us know. We'll be praying for you. If you need to be visited, we'll come and visit you. We'll let you know about Annette on the WhatsApp group. Like I've said many times, if you're not on the WhatsApp group, please come and let me know. Some people put up their hands and then I go and check and your name is on the WhatsApp group. So there's another reason. Then you need to come and talk to me. Yvonne was one of those. Yvonne Smith. Are you getting them? Okay. All right. Without any further ado, I've tipped this thing too much, so I'm going to just drop it down a little bit. This morning, God has been moving. And He's been moving about His love for us. It's amazing. And the message today is actually dressed in white. You see the bride, the beautiful, I mean, I don't know what we're going to look at, but we're going to be dressed in white. That's what the Bible says. Who knows that if we ask God for something, He gives it to us. Can you hear an amen? I want you to go to sleep now that you're sitting down. So if we ask God for something, He gives it to us. And I was asking God for something. In Joel 2 verse 28, it speaks about the young men, your children will prophesy. Young men will dream. How's it go? Let me go. I'm getting it confused. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Okay? It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And I'm at that stage of my life where I'm neither young nor old. My children may think that I'm old. But I think when you get to 80 or 90 or 100. So I'm kind of in the middle. But I haven't been experiencing that. And it's a spiritual thing that we should desire. When the Azusa Street revival happened, people had reading the Bible about the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And they started praying for it and asking God for it to come. So in the same way, while I've got the gifts of the Spirit, I haven't been one to have dreams or even to see many visions. I've seen the odd vision here or there. And I've been asking the Lord for that gift. And on Wednesday night, it happened. I had a dream. I had a vivid dream. Sadly, I can't remember the dream. So that's my next prayer. Lord, help me to remember what I dreamt. But, when I woke up, there was a song that we were singing in the dream, and it was, "We Will Ride." So I asked the worship team, they started the service with, and we'll sing it again just now. He has fire in his eye, and a sword in his hand. You know that song? So we were singing that. And so when I got up on Thursday morning, I asked the Lord, Lord, now that you're giving our first thank team, I said, thank you for answering my prayer. And the other thing I've noticed was, and we do get this, that God has been answering my prayers, and I believe it's in result or in response to the way that I've been calling on Him as we've studied Song of Songs. Because I've said, Lord, I want to be deeper in love with you. I don't just want to return to the first love. I want to go beyond that. Because surely there's got to be more than the first love. If you've been in love, if you've been married for a number of years, you realize that that love grows deeper and deeper and deeper if you've got a marriage where God is present. Okay? So I said, Lord, I want to go way beyond that. I want to go to that intimate place where He's my beloved and I'm His, and His banner over me is love. And so I was thanking for that. And as I've been seeking more and more of that, I found that God is answering even the simple prayers. Like, Lord, where did I put that? There it is. Or, what was that person's name? And it comes into mind. Just like that. And that's God. And we can have that kind of relationship with Him where He answers our prayers instantly. Doesn't mean that He has to. He does it because He loves us. Can I hear an amen? So we can't go and manipulate God and say, yeah, but you say you answer prayers. Now I won't. Because we need to respect and revere God. So I went and started studying what it meant that dressed in white. We will be dressed in white. What does it mean? And as I started my quiet time, I thought, well, let me first go into the Bible study. And I went into the Bible study, and there was a link, and I realized God was really talking to me. So I thought, that's what I'll teach you about this morning, because I had a totally different message prepared. So our Bible study on Thursday morning was from Song of Songs 3, verse 6 to 11. It speaks about Solomon sweeping into Jerusalem in his chariots, and his men are all around him, the men with swords to protect him, and there's a lot of pomp and ceremony. He comes in, and actually, I was thinking about it, it says this, I'll read it to you from Solomon. Have you got your Bibles there? Solomon 3, verse 6 to 11. Who is this sweeping in from the wilderness? Yes, Josh. Pardon? Song of Solomon. Song of Songs. It's the same thing. Sorry, not the Book of Solomon. Okay. Who is this sweeping in from the wilderness like a cloud of smoke? Who is it fragrant with myrrh and frankincense and every kind of spice? This guy just smelled fantastic. As the carriage went past, the whiff remained behind. The people lining the streets could smell it. Makes me think of the fragrance of Christ, which we are to give off. Look at Solomon's carriage, surrounded by 60 heroic men, the best of Israel's soldiers. They are all skilled swordsmen, experienced warriors. Each carries a sword on his thigh, ready to defend the king against an attack at or in the night. Do you see that? Attack in the night. Why did he need those soldiers with him if it was daylight? Because they're there to protect him from an attack in the night. I want you to take note of that. The night. He came in the midnight. He swept in when they were sleeping, when they weren't expecting him to come. There he came. Unexpected. It was dark. The soldiers were necessary to protect him. King Solomon's carriage is built of wood imported from Lebanon. Its posts are silver. Its canopy gold. Its cushions are purple. It was decorated with love by the young woman of Jerusalem. Come out and see King Solomon, young woman of Jerusalem. He wears the crown his mother gave him. On what day? His wedding day. He was wearing the crown that was given to him for a wedding day. So now he's come unexpected, in the dark, and it's a wedding day. Can you see the parallels yet, church? Can you see the parallels? It's his most joyous day. Do you know the day that Jesus Christ comes to fetch his bride? It's going to be his most joyous day. And it should be our most joyous day too. Amen. It's either going to be a day of great joy, great sorrow. In my mind, I picture him coming in to pick up his bride. In my mind, I think about it as Jesus Christ coming, rushing in, sweeping in, unexpected. Da-da-da-da! Behold, the Lamb of God, slain since the foundation of the earth, has come to fetch His bride. That's what I see. Maybe I'm seeing too much into it, but that's what I believe the Lord was showing me. In accordance with Jewish tradition, He came unexpectedly. In those days, there would be a betrothal, the bride would be allocated to the groom, and then the bridegroom would go away to prepare a house. And then on a day which only the father would know, unexpected, He would come back and fetch the bride. And phew, off they go. He'd come and kidnap the bride. Almost. Okay, that's my term. Come to kidnap the bride. She wouldn't be expecting. Are you ready? Ooh, where's my wedding clothes? Ooh, can you just, oh, I don't have my makeup done. My hair's a mess. Can you imagine it? Unexpected. So what happens? That bride made sure she was ready day and night. She made sure she was ready. She said, I'm not going to be caught in my wedding gown. I'm not going to be caught in my onesie. Hey, I'm not going to be caught in my hair's a chamos. I'm not going to be caught in my breath stinks. I'm not going to be caught in the lipsticks up here because I was in a hurry. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to wait and watch. If I'm not awake, I'm going to have one of my maidservants while I'm busy doing watching. She's going to be ready to shake me so that when He gets there, I'm going to be up in that wedding gown. I'm going to be ready. Church, are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Are you watching and waiting? Our Bible study then diverted us to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Turn there with me. Josh, did I get it right this time? Revelation 19 verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to Him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself. Should we sing it quickly? Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory. Come on, let's all sing it. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Are you ready? Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Yes, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. As we stood here shouting this morning, Lord, I want You. Jesus. Amen. That's a bride that's ready. We need to be ready in our hearts, in our spirits, in our attitudes, in the way we live. My first point this morning is saying to you this morning, church, I don't know why Jesus gave me that dream. Why would He give me that dream? I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to encourage you where you're hurting. I want to encourage you where you're unemployed. I want to encourage you where you're sick. And now I'm preaching about this stuff. But that's because what God wants me to preach. Are you ready? He's going to come when we don't expect it. What are you busy with? Are you busy with the things of the world? Are you busy with the things of the flesh? I want to say it this way. Are you busy with the things of self? Are you busy with the things of God? Have you made yourself ready? Is your life truly committed to Jesus? Are you truly serving Him? Are you just religious? Yes, I go to church on Sunday. Ja, ek is mos 'n gelowige. Are you really? Is jy regtig 'n gelowige? Is Jesus hier in jou hart elke minuut van elke dag? Is He there? Is He truly your beloved? Is He? As we study Song of Solomon, I believe God is giving us a great opportunity to renew that first love, to get ourselves back into that place where He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus be the center of it all. That scripture that I shared a couple of weeks ago, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It's been going over in my mind, over and over and over. What does it mean? It means He's got to take the center place. There's no space to love anything else. And out of that love, out of that love, out of that love that says, Lord, You are my everything. You are my all in all. Out of that love flows my relationship with my wife. Out of that love flows my the church of irresistible influence that Conrad spoke about. Out of that love flows my compassion. The way I deal with people, even my attitude towards race, flows out of that love. If I don't love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm going to try and love those other things in my own strength and my own ability, and I'm going to fail dismally. My marriage will fail. My ability to show compassion of any kind will be based in I instead of in Him. The Word of God says He must increase and I must become less. He must be more. I must become less. The only way we can do it is if Jesus is the center of it all. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. Nothing left behind. Nothing. Does that make sense, church? And when we come to that, as we study the Song of Solomon, we just fall in love with Him all over again. We fall in love with our spouse all over again. Because the Lord says, are you loving your spouse like the way I love the church? Jesus said, love them the way I love you, husbands. I must love you the way God loves me. Sometimes I fail, sweets. Sorry. But I need to get there. If Jesus were to appear suddenly today, would we be ready? Are we allowing this teaching to touch our hearts and transform our lives? Is it just something we quickly go across in the mornings? There's a whole lot of questions in this Bible study. It means we've got to think about it. Can't just quickly read it and put it away. Okay, I've done it now. I've done my duty. I can tell Pastor Pat I've read it. Pastor Keith, I've read it. Oops. Where's Pastor Pat now? Incidentally, here in Ivana, also not well. They've also had bronchitis. They're starting to improve. So please pray for them. Give them a shout every now and again. Show them that this is the church that loves them. Amen? My second point is this. Pure white linen. Even in modern day weddings, one of the most anticipated parts of, I remember standing here. The church wasn't changed in front here yet. It was still the old front. I remember standing here, waiting for my bride to come in. When she came in, whoo, she was something else. I still look at those pictures. There's no other bride like you, my pretty pa. But can you, how many wedding services have you been in? When the bride comes in, there's kind of a sigh. Look at that, it's so beautiful. All the ladies, whoo! All the men, hide a tear.
Because we are strong.
It's the most beautiful part of the wedding ceremony is the bride comes in and the people turn around and say, sure, just look at that dress. Isn't she stunning? What will we look like as the bride of Christ? How will we look? Will it be like that picture up there? It's just some artist's impression. How long will our trail be? Will it fill the temple? Is Jesus going to turn and say, we don't think of Him like that, but He's our bridegroom. We should think about Him like that. That love that we heard about this morning, it goes far beyond what we understand. It's a deep and a wonderful and an intimate love. We need to learn to accept it and experience it. As we carry on reading in Revelation chapter 19, this goes beyond what we had in our Bible study. Verses 8 to 9, it says this. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to. She's been given the finest pure white linen. Speaks of righteousness. Speaks of holiness. And then it goes on to say this. And this is what I felt the Lord was speaking to me about. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, blessed, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. The first thing is you need an invite. How do you get your invite? By inviting Jesus to come and dwell in your heart. There's your invite. Amen. Then has been given to them permission. Something to be given permission to do something. To wear the finest white, beautiful wedding gown. They are dressed in the finest white. And it goes on to say, and that white comes from the righteous deeds of the saints. Now that is where the wheels fall off, isn't it? Because we know that we are saved by grace through faith, and that is this, not of ourselves that we may boast. We know that our righteousness is in Christ alone, and our own righteousness is as dirty rags. But yet it goes here to say, they've been given to wear the finest pure white linen, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of Jesus. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says, the righteous, it's the good deeds of God's holy people. It's what you and I do. It won't get us into heaven, but it'll impact what we experience in heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our righteousness, not Christ's righteousness, our righteousness, our righteous deeds will impact some of what we experience in heaven. It'll impact what our wedding feast looks like. I was thinking about this morning. I was reading it again. I said, I do not want to go and preach something because we know that our righteousness, I am the righteousness of God in and through Christ Jesus. I am not righteous of my own. I am filthy, dirty of my own, no matter what I try. Yet, I need to do righteous deeds. And I was thinking about it again this morning. Can you imagine, if you look at that wedding dress there, picture on it, that it has been, it's got beautiful little stones stuck onto it. Beautiful, clear little stones stuck onto it. Think of our righteous deeds as those little beautiful, shiny stones that are attached to this beautiful white garment. The Bible speaks about us that we will receive crowns in heaven based on what we've done on earth. So our experience in heaven, even though we get to heaven because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and we've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through His work on the cross, but our experience in heaven will be impacted by our righteous deeds, good works that we have been prepared in advance for us to do. Can I hear an amen? Are you with me, church? And that is what made me sit up and take notice. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, number one, is, are you ready? If I come in an unexpected manner, church, are you ready? Secondly, he's saying, have you got the right clothing? Are you dressed in white? Have you been preparing? A bride will go. She will spend hours and hours and all of her parents' money on getting that most beautiful dress that she will wear once. You and I will be invited once. Once. There's not going to be a second wedding feast. It will be one. Amen. You will wear that beautiful dress. But you will wear it for a while. I'll show you. Where does that whiteness come from? The good deeds of God's people. In the Amplified Bible, it says this. For the fine linen signifies the righteous acts of the saints, the ethical conduct, the personal integrity, the moral courage, and the godly character of the believer. Ouch! So now I go and look at my life again and say, Lord Jesus, I'm born again. I love you. I want to serve you. He says, does your life reflect that? Does your life reflect what you're confessing? On Friday morning's prayer meeting, and I really want to invite those of you that can come, it's not just for the pensioner ladies, it's for the men too. Amen? So if you've got free time on your hands, and it is a blessing, I sat there with them on Friday morning, it was a blessing. And Patty said, we need to do what it says in James. We need to become doers of the word, not just hearers. Conrad's first prayer this morning in the prayer meeting, we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. God is speaking to us, church. And time and time and time again over the last year, we've heard services. We need to get involved with the community. We need to do X, Y, Z. But I believe this goes wider than it. It goes to our personal conduct as well. So we need to be doing the good deeds. We need to walk in compassion. We need to walk in love. We need to do that which is right. We need to do... How will they know you're Christians? By your love. Okay? And our love will be shown through our deeds. Amen. All right, sorry. But yes, our love will translate into deeds. In James it says, you say your faith, I will show you my faith through my works. Because faith without works is dead. We do not want dead faith. We want living faith. We want to prepare that white gown that which we will be permitted to wear. Why do you think we need to be permitted to wear? Because it comes from our own works. We need permission to use what God has given us the ability to do in heaven. We need permission to wear that dress. Because some of what it has is our own good deeds. And except that we have permission, we can't wear it. Amen? We need to decorate that dress. Sometimes it means saying something kind to somebody. Sometimes it means supporting the hungry. Sometimes it means choosing not to be rude to my wife or my husband. Sometimes it means me being honest in the workplace. Sometimes it means me not turning on my computer or my iPad or my cell phone and looking pornography. Amen. It's a righteous deed to choose not to do that. Sometimes it means that I will not live the way that I want to live. I will live the way that God wants me to live. Amen. Are you with me, church? Do you understand what I say? We need to make sure we prepare that dress or that outfit that we will be wearing. And our integrity, our ethical conduct, our moral courage will determine what we wear. Our good works will determine what we wear. Being doers of the word and not only hearers will determine what we wear in heaven. Yalas Bayastal, is that a bit of a shock to the system? So, I want to challenge you with this morning and say, if you were to evaluate your life this morning, if I was to evaluate my life this morning, would my dress, my wedding dress, be decorated with the right stuff? Would it be missing? Can you imagine the bride walking up and the veil's missing? Or there's a big hole in the side? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? What we do here on earth in the name of the Lord will be tested and will determine what we wear. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. It's a well-known scripture. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No one can say they're righteous. No one can wear that white dress except that they've received Jesus Christ. He's the only way. It's the only way to get that garment. But we can decorate that garment. We can make it beautiful. We can prepare it through works. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is built on it endures, he will receive a reward. That's what I spoke about. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So there it is. You're born again, you're born again. Going to heaven. We need to decorate our dress. Okay? Does it say specifically in the scriptures you must decorate your dress? No, I'm using it as an example. We need to do those good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Our lives must reflect them all the time. Are you happy to walk just as you are? Are you happy to leave the status quo as is? Or are you going to go forward in Christ? Are you going to live a life that produces those good works daily, all the time, every decision you make? When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. Are we going to do that? Our foundation is salvation through Jesus Christ. But we build on that foundation by doing works of faith. They're faith works. Abraham, when he went to sacrifice Isaac, it was accounted to him as righteousness. It's faith. But he actually had to take his son there, prepare the fire, prepare the altar, tie his son down on the altar. Did you see that there was a righteousness? There was faith followed by doing. Work. Work. We need to follow what we do with works. So my second question to us today is this. Are we doing works of righteousness? Will those works pass the test? The measure of success with which we walk will determine the whiteness of our garments in heaven. And they will determine the rewards we receive in heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Thirdly, and now we get to the song, I will ride. And this is how I know God was speaking to me. As we continued reading in Revelation chapter 19, we see what happens when the marriage celebration is completed. So up to now, I've spoken to you about Jesus coming to fetch the bride. I've spoken to you about the marriage ceremony. We're all dressed in white, okay? And we're permitted to wear those white garments. to which we contributed through our righteous works of faith. Right? Doing those righteous works without faith will not get us there. Amen. You won't even get into heaven. You won't be at the wedding feast. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 14. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who was riding it is called Faithful and True. Can we praise our King that's faithful and true? Let's give him praise this morning. You are faithful and true, Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning. And it carries on to say, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, and steady. That sounds a little bit like what we must be, doesn't it? Our righteous deeds. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war on the rebellious nations. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many royal crowns, like Solomon coming in with a wedding crown. But on Christ's head are many crowns, crowning with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne, you know? And he has a name inscribed on him, which no one knows or understands except himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. That blood is what brought us into heaven in the first place. He is the one. He may wear white garments, but his robe is red. We wear white. He wears red. Is that red? When Father God sees, the first thing he sees is that red robe, and then he sees the whiteness after it. Amen. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, you see, with him, and the armies of heaven, dressed in fine linen, dazzling white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, we've had the wedding feast. We've got up from the wedding feast. We haven't gone and got changed into our honeymoon clothes and got in our cars and gone to the airport and flown off to Mauritius or wherever, Amanda and Toti. Okay? We have got up from the wedding table and now all of a sudden we're on white horses. And our commander-in-chief is in front of us wearing a red robe. And now we're part of the army of heaven. The bride became the army of heaven, dressed in those same white robes. Those same white clothes. I don't know if it was a robe, what it is. But dressed in white clothes, white linen. Part of which is the righteous deeds of the saints. And then we're ready to go with Christ and to wage war. But you see, there won't actually be a war because the war's already been won on the cross. All that's going to happen is all these armies are going to come together and Jesus is going to appear on the scene. And immediately those armies are going to be defeated. There won't be a war. There won't be a casualty on Christ's side because the war has already been won. And in amongst those people that gather against him will be those who don't have white robes. Those that said, tomorrow, I don't have time today to be committed to Christ Jesus. I'm too busy. We've got a lot of older folk in the church with grandchildren. So I'm going to speak to you on your level. My grandchildren kept me away from Christ Jesus. My work kept me away from Christ Jesus. My church service kept me away from Jesus. Because sometimes it's not that we're busy in the church. It's that we're busy with the wrong attitude of mind. The work's what's important and not Christ. It's not about building the kingdom. It's about I work in the church. And what does that go back to? It goes back to me. What is it that will keep us from Jesus? What is it that will make us part of that defeated army? Instead of sitting on the white horse, dressed in the robe of white, with our commander-in-chief, glorious and wonderful and majestic in front of us. It's a time of great joy and great sorrow. You've either been drafted into that army, or you've been left behind at the rapture when Jesus came unexpectedly. The words of the song we will ride echo with challenge for you and me today. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse all across the land, and he's calling to you and to me. Will you ride with me? That fire in his eyes is love for his bride. Think about Song of Songs. His love for his bride that we've been studying. And his longing that she will be with him. Church, he longs for you And he longs for me to be with him right by his side. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm not done with the message just, by the way, so just stay calm. My final challenge to us today is this. Have you and have I said, yes, Lord? You see, he's calling us to his army. But when Jesus speaks to us, he spends time. So when he invites us to be his bride, at the same time he's inviting us to be his bride, he's inviting us to be part of that army. The same time he's inviting us to sit at the wedding feast, he's inviting us to get on the back of that white horse and go with him and see the victory. Because we won't have to fight. You don't see the bride dressed with swords and shields and helmets. She's dressed in white. She's beautiful. She's in a bridal gown. She doesn't need it. Because the war has been won. Have we said, yes, Lord? Or are we like the five unwise virgins saying, yes, Lord, but not now. I'm too busy. I'll go and get some oil just now. I'll get ready, but I'm not there yet. I'm not yet ready. I'm too busy. I'm too busy with me, myself, and I, my plans. Unless we say, yes, Lord, we won't wear those robes of white. My conclusion is this. I want to take you to a parable from Matthew 22, and I'm going to read you the whole parable. Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven, just hang on a second with the guitar there, please, Josh. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and the fatted cattle have been killed and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. My beloved is mine and I am his, and his banner over me is love. He leads me to his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Can you see the link with what God's saying to us? Now I lost my place. But the guests he invited ignored them and went their own way. One to his farm, my work, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious. He sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Church, have we accepted the invite? Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. That's the season we're living in now. It's the dispensation of grace. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad. Are we bringing in people that we can find, church? Those are the good works of the saints. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. Now verse 11. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you're here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Now the king came in, and there the bride was sitting at the wedding feast. And here sat a person that didn't have the garment of white. They'd given their heart to Jesus, and then they'd lived as they pleased. They didn't fill their lives with the works that follow on out of faith, good works. And therefore, when they got to the banqueting feast, they were wearing a wedding gown, but it wasn't spotless and white. Made so by the righteous deeds of the saints. Made so through the precious blood of Jesus. You see, those two work hand in hand. You can't separate them. Are you going to be found at the wedding feast and be thrown out into utter darkness? You see, we forget about that. We forget that God is going to say, no, you can't come. I don't know you. Go away from me, you filthy sinner. And that is what I felt that the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. Now, we're a church. We love Jesus. We've been serving him for years. Why did I need to preach that? I don't know. But I believe it's God's word for us. Why did I wake up with a dream in the middle of the night? Why could I remember only those words of the song? We will rise. garments of white. So, when Jesus comes unexpectedly to fetch us, his bride, will we be ready? Is my life right before Jesus? Will my garment be ready? Have I prepared a garment of white with the good deeds, the righteous deeds of the saints? Or am I leaving that garment lying there saying, "Môre is nog 'n dag. Ek sal dit môre doen. I'll be kind tomorrow. I'll deal with this bad temper of mine tomorrow. Sorry, I'll stop looking at pornography tomorrow. I'll stop drinking tomorrow." Many saints, drink. You think it's okay? But if I go and read the words of Solomon's mother, it says to King Lemuel, I think it's in Proverbs 31, it says the king should not partake, should not get drunk. And we are kings and priests. So I can interpret that as saying, my Bible says, you should leave alcohol alone. I'm not saying you won't get into heaven if you drink alcohol. The Bible says don't be drunk. I'm saying, what's my attitude? What is my walk like? And then finally I'm saying, am I wearing that robe of white? Is my life, am I continually wearing it? Or am I wearing the wrong robes today? That's what the Lord has spoken to us about this morning. Let's stand, we're going to sing that song. I'm going to ask you, let it challenge your heart. Let this word challenge your heart. And then I'm going to ask you, if you feel you need to recommit your heart to Jesus, if you feel that you've been living for Jesus, but your life has not been producing those acts of righteousness, come forward, spend some time with the Lord. I will pray a general prayer, and we'll close the service. Finally, I want to say, if you haven't even got your entrance ticket, your invite to the banquet, in other words, if you're not given your heart to Jesus, please come forward and speak to me while we sing this song.